Welcome you this morning to Sunday worship at First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia. We're glad that all of you have joined us today. Please do us the favor of filling out one of the pew registers when they are passed later in this service, for this always helps us to know each other better. And do give our members an opportunity to greet guests at worship's end. Once again, welcome to all who gather for worship in this good place today. Would you join me now in the call to worship? O give thanks to our God who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever.
The people God loves have been gathered in from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some have wandered, finding no safety, hungry and thirsty. Let us thank our God for steadfast love for all humankind.
For God satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. O give thanks to our God who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever.
Let us pray. Generous God, we have come together this morning to give thanks for your steadfast love, and to experience once again your desire to gather all people into communities of peace that seek to serve your world. With Christ as our guide, we seek to grow in your image by becoming more generous, more compassionate, and more welcoming towards our brothers and our sisters. We also give thanks for the great abundance you provide to all of us. Help us to hold lightly to the fading things of this earth, and to grasp tightly to the lasting things of your kingdom, so that what we are and do and say may be our gifts to you. We pray all these things in the name of Christ, who calls all of us to seek the things above. Amen. Join with me as together we affirm our faith. The First Baptist Church confesses Jesus Christ as Lord on the basis of who he was and is and what he did and does. We confess him to be God's unique Son, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord of life. He gave his life even unto death by God's will and for our sake. On the cross, he comes again and again by the Holy Spirit to communicate himself to his people. His people are the church. We seek simply to be one visible congregation of Christ's church. We hold Baptist views about the Christian faith. However, we also rejoice in our Lord's gracious gifts to our fellow believers, who are called by names other than Baptist. Happily, we count them as our brothers and our sisters. We live out our discipleship by taking seriously our commitment to each other and to the world. We share not only our words, but our money, our time, and our talents with our friends here and with all God's people everywhere.
Good morning, ladies. I want to talk to you about two girls this morning who are 10 years old, and their names are Sarah and Alice. Now, Sarah's mom takes her to the store, and they pick out 31 pairs of socks. And she picks out all her favorite colors and all her favorite patterns and all her favorite characters. So they're perfect socks. So Alice, her mom, takes her to the store too. And Alice picks out 31 pairs of socks. And she picks out all her favorite colors and all her favorite patterns and all her favorite characters. So they're perfect socks. So Sarah's mom buys the socks, and then they take them home. And then Alice's mom buys the socks, and they take them home. So far, other than their names, do you notice anything different? What do you notice? They both got 31. So far, they're pretty much the same, right? Okay. Well, when Sarah gets home, she opens the socks. And she puts them together and she folds them down. And then she opens her drawer and she arranges them in the order that she wants to wear them. So now she has a brand new pair of socks for every day of the month. And she's really excited to wear those socks. All right. So Alice goes home and she opens her socks and she puts them together and she folds them down like you're supposed to do. And she puts them in order. But she puts them on her kitchen table. And then she gets out some Ziploc bags. And she puts one pair of socks in each Ziploc bag. And then in that bag, she also puts some soap and some toothpaste and a toothbrush. And then she seals them all up. And she keeps one pair of socks. So she has 30 bags of socks and soap and toothbrushes. Now do you notice a difference? Yeah. Yep, so she put them in bags and Sarah put them in her drawer. Well, we're reading today in the book of Luke, and Jesus reminds us that sometimes we think what makes us important are the things that we have. So we think that the more toys we have, or the more clothes we have, or the more socks we have, make us really important and make us better. But Jesus tells us that that's not what makes us important. And that's not what makes us better. What makes us better is how we use the things that we have for other people. So we can choose to keep all of our stuff for ourselves, or we can choose to share our stuff with other people. And Jesus says when we choose to keep all of our stuff to ourselves, like our clothes and our toys and our money, that what we're doing is we're making those things more important than God. But when we choose to share our things with other people, we make God and other people more important than our stuff. So what Alice did with those 30 Ziploc bags is she and her mom took them down to a place where people stay, called a shelter, that don't have homes. And so Alice and her mom handed out her 30 bags of socks and soap and toothbrushes to 30 different people. So now 30 people, plus Alice, because she kept one pair, had brand new socks to wear. Yeah, that is. And so instead of keeping all of her socks, she shared them with some other people. And so that's what Jesus asks us to do, is to share, to show that God and other people are more important to us than the stuff we have. Because sometimes we make stuff really important, and it's really not. It's something that God asks us to share. So you think we can try to be people who share instead of just hold on to all of our stuff? That's a hard thing to do, but it's something that God asks us to do. It's not. All right, can we pray together? God, we thank you for all of the things that we have And we pray that you would help us to be people who share and not be people who keep all of our stuff. Help us to show other people how important they are to us and to you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
First lesson this morning is Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9 and 43. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the Son of Man. For he satisfies him who is thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Whoever is wise, let him give heed to these things. Let men consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Here ends the reading of the first lesson.
Our second lesson this morning is the letter to the Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 11. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all.
Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to Luke chapter 12 and beginning to read at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night, your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. This is the written word of the Lord. Some of you will recognize the name of Ernest Campbell, who was a former pastor of the great Riverside Church in New York City and a magnificent preacher of the gospel. He was also incredibly funny. I once heard him tell a wonderful little story at a preaching conference in Louisville, Kentucky years ago about It's a story about the way in which we try to find satisfaction in life everywhere we can while refusing to look to the one place that really matters. The story goes like this. It seems that this woman went to a pet store to buy a parrot to keep her company. And she bought it and took it home, but returned the next day to tell the shopkeeper, "That parrot you sold me hasn't said a word yet." "Does it have a mirror?" the storekeeper asked. "You know, parrots like to be able to look at themselves in the mirror." And so the woman bought a mirror and took it home. The next day, the woman was back, announcing that the bird still wasn't talking. "What about a ladder?" the storekeeper asked. "Parrots enjoy walking up and down a ladder." So the woman bought a ladder and took it home. Sure enough, the following day she was back again, complaining that the parrot still would not speak. "Does the parrot have a swing? Birds enjoy relaxing on a swing." And so the woman bought a swing and took it home. The next day, the woman went back to the store and announced that the bird had died. "I'm terribly sorry to hear that," said the storekeeper. "Tell me, did the bird ever say anything before it died?" And the woman said, "Yes. It said, 'Don't they sell any food down there?'" We go through our lives at times buying mirrors by which to primp and to look at ourselves, ladders by which we try to climb higher and higher in life, swings by which we hope to gain pleasure and happiness. But so often, we totally ignore the foundational things in life which would enable us to live full and happy and productive lives for God's glory. Now, Jesus understood this blind spot in us, and so he taught his disciples about the stewardship of their possessions. And in the process, Jesus taught us how to live a rich, full life. In our gospel lesson for this morning, and some of you who've been keeping track know that we have been working our way through these lectionary texts in Luke all this year, and we come to this story this morning about the man who approached Jesus asking for a decision. It seems as though this man and his older brother had come into an inheritance. The older brother had come into his share of it upon their father's death, but this younger brother had not yet received his portion of the estate. Now, according to Deuteronomy chapter 21, the Jewish law said that his older brother should have inherited up to 2/3 of the money, and he should have received 1/3. But this man was not really looking for arbitration. He comes to Jesus looking for a decision. He wants a word from the teacher that he can give to his brother. But Jesus would have none of it. He told the man that he was not a judge or an arbiter over them. And by saying so, Jesus proved once again that his kingdom was not of this world, but of another. What follows in Luke's narrative are words to the multitude on the dangers of greed and the false feeling of security which comes by relying only upon yourself in the world. And as we have seen Jesus do so many times before, to make his point, he told his disciples a story. In fact, a parable. It seems as though every time you turn around, Jesus is telling a story. And here comes one more. There was a man who was a very wealthy landowner. Even as this story opens, the fellow is already a rich man. His land was good and produced for him an excellent crop, probably a crop of wheat or barley or some other grain. At season's end, he had a tremendous harvest on his hands, but this presented a great problem. What to do with it all? There was so much. And so the man quite naturally turned to his greatest source of strength and help in such a time of decision, himself. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." Now the point is, the fellow is the self-sufficient type and does not feel the need to invite the counsel of others or to seek the mind of the Lord. As he ponders the question of how to contain all of his good fortune, it's almost as if you can see a light bulb go off above his head, and he thinks to himself, "I know. I'll tear down the barns and I'll build some bigger ones and then fill them all up." When faced with extra grain, this man decides on bigger barns rather than on empty stomachs. And surely there were some. This is one self-sufficient character. He has everything one could possibly need in life, and it was all his. Just check out his use of the personal pronouns here. My crops, my barns, my grain, my goods. He had it all. And apparently there was not much gratitude in him to be found. He looked forward to a life of ease, but what he thought would be a comfortable retirement turned out to be death waiting for him. For suddenly, this rich man was asked to give an account of his soul. Now, undoubtedly, this man's neighbors thought of him as an intelligent businessman. He was an entrepreneur, a shrewd investor, a genius at finances, but God calls him a fool. Do you know what a fool is? A fool is a person who makes decisions in the present that don't have anything to do with the future. This man had lived a rich but foolish life. He had amassed all of this treasure, land and barns and a harvest that he could not contain. But it wasn't worth a nickel when it came to giving God an account of his soul. He had been given the temporary responsibility of possessing all of this wealth, not realizing that one day he would have to explain what he had done with his life. He was a fool, the Bible says. A rich one, but a fool nonetheless. Now, the Reverend Donna Shaper wonders, where does this almost insatiable passion in us, this desire for more and more and more, where does that come from? What spawns that? What generates that in human beings? She writes, desire works in such a labyrinthine way that it would be hard to find the first knot it ties around our soul. Is it in grade school, as we dress like others and declare nerdy anything that wasn't bought yesterday? Do we parents tighten the noose of wealth by buying Christmas presents equal in sparkle to those of our children's peers? Does the very commercialism of the Christ event bond us forever to the worship of wealth? Or is it the birthday party, which children associate with, what am I going to get? We are realizing that what we want is perpetually going to be bigger than what we can earn. We are realizing that our want has grown and that it has been encouraged to grow. So is there a word in this story of Jesus for all of us today? Well, I believe so. And I would like for you to find it by asking yourselves three questions this morning. The first question is, where lies your true security and sense of wealth? Is it in things or in money or in possessions? Do you ever find yourself thinking, if only I could have or get such and such a thing, well, then surely I would be a happy person? You know, we live in such a materialistic culture where we are daily, and I do mean daily, seduced into believing what we really want in life. Or, in fact, we're told what we really want in life, which is actually much less than what God wants to give us. As the great C.S. Lewis once wrote, it's not that we want too much, it's that we settle for too little. Scripture says that our true wealth is to be found in God. Our lives are made secure not by things, but by overcoming things. Now, that kind of triumph does not come from an attitude of self-sufficiency, but by participating in the new order of the Spirit. It is Christ in us, our hope of glory, who gives us a rich, full life. And the only criterion that matters is whether we have been rich toward God and other people. Second question. A very good friend of our congregation, Walter B. Sheridan, once asked it in a sermon. The question is, are you a catch basin or a conduit? Given the fact that you and I are all of us wealthy as compared with the rest of the world, what in heaven's name are we doing with it? Is the wealth which we enjoy strictly a result of our own efforts, as that rich man in the story thought? Or is it in some larger sense a blessing from God? If it is the former, well, you might as well just go ahead and pull down your barns and build larger ones. That's nothing more than greed. But if you are grateful to God for it all, sooner or later, you're going to have to let some of it go. Some of you know that in the nation of Israel, there are two rather famous bodies of water. The first is the Sea of Galilee, and the other is the Dead Sea. One of them takes in water from the mountains to the north, but releases it later on into the lower Jordan River, while the second body of water only takes water in and never, ever lets it go. Consequently, the buildup of sediment and minerals makes the water too heavy to support life and it literally is a dead sea. You can never be a truly grateful Christian and be a catch basin. Instead, you'll be a conduit. You will be a channel for the kingdom and the gospel and the Holy Spirit to work in the world. Third question. How much wealth is enough for you? I'm assuming for the moment that most all of us gathered here this morning have something more in life than we actually need to survive. And I say that in all candor, knowing that there are persons in this city who do not, and that there are persons in our own congregation who have a difficult time making ends meet from one month to the next. But assuming for the moment that most of us have a little something more than we need for our basic survival, ask yourself what you're doing with it. How are you handling your wealth? Are you using some of it to bless others? Or do you think that you need it all? The great Russian author Tolstoy once told a story about a rich peasant who seemed as though he was never, ever quite satisfied. He always wanted more. One day, he heard about a wonderful opportunity to obtain some more land. For 1,000 rubles, he could have all of the land that he could walk around in one day. But he had to make it back to the starting point by sundown, or he would lose it all. So the man got up the next morning and he set out. He walked on and on and on, thinking that he could get just a little more land if he just kept going. But he went out so far that he soon realized he must walk very fast if he was to get back in time to claim the land. As the sun sank lower and lower in the sky, he quickened his steps and finally he started to run. And then as he came within sight of the starting place, he gave his last burst of energy, lunging over the finish line. And he promptly died. His servant took a spade and dug him a grave for him. The servant made the grave just long enough and just wide enough and buried him in it. The title of Tolstoy's story is, How Much Land Does a Man Need? He answers his own question by saying, 6 feet from his head to his heels was all he needed. How much wealth do we need? Are we catch basins or conduits? These are profound questions for all of us to ask, and especially as we think this morning about the one who was rich, but who for our sakes was made poor. The one who possessed all that belonged in his Father's house, but on the cross, willingly gave it all away. Thanks be to God. For Jesus Christ our Lord. And let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. Cause us in this hour to know once again the price of our salvation and to see in the cross of Jesus where love's generosity was prepared to go. Help us to follow him there this morning. Not holding on to what we have, but freely giving ourselves away for others. We make our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us join our hearts together this morning as we pray, first silently, and then by offering the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. O God, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in the world. Strip away all our falsehood and evil and close us with your loving kindness, a garment for the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we pray for the world all around us. Show us the vanity of our ways, toiling away for sinful, selfish gain. Turn our hearts instead to seek the common good of all our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we pray for ourselves. Guard us against the arrogance of privilege, against the indulgence of feeling that we don't have enough, and the poverty of spirit that refuses to acknowledge what is daily given to us. Keep us truthful in knowing where we spend, where our values actually are. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we pray for our loved ones nearby and far away. Remember all of your beloved children who are struggling and suffering and grieving this day. Take them into your arms and heal and comfort them all. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we pray that you would strengthen us to run the race that is before us, laying aside the heavy burdens of sin and death and following Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The God who has blessed our lives so greatly calls us to store our riches with God and not on earth. In thanksgiving and in faithfulness, let us share our gifts and offerings with the world. Let us pray. God of wisdom, we are grateful that Christ calls even us his friends and warns us to watch out for all kinds of greed. We sometimes struggle to remember that true life does not come from an abundance of possessions, but from the things you have to offer. Turn us away from seeking our own gain and mindlessly increasing our many things. Empower us by your Spirit to be more generous towards you and towards those around us. And we pray that you would use these offerings to fulfill your purposes in the world. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended now, as it is every Sunday in our church. What better day than today to respond to our gracious and generous God by professing your faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, or by coming to express a desire to unite with his church, which meets in this place. As we sing this great hymn, and as you respond, we would receive you this day with great joy. Each Sunday, it is our very real pleasure at First Baptist Church to welcome those who worship with us as guests, some for the very first time, others are returning friends. And this morning, we're happy to welcome friends from Minnesota and also from Dublin, Georgia, and right here in our own city, in Garden City, Georgia, and perhaps others as well. If you are our guest, thank you for sharing the past hour with us, and do give our people an opportunity to greet you following the service. They would like very much to do that. Quickly, by way of announcement, our children concluded another successful week of Vacation Bible School this past Friday. We all look forward to the program that they will be leading on Wednesday night, August 17th.
as they tell us about all of the fun and interesting things that they were able to do together at First Baptist Church this last week. Later this afternoon, our final summer book discussion groups will meet, one at the home of Will and Betty Hodges in Ardsley Park, and a second one at our home on Wilmington Island. You're invited to bring food to share at a covered dish meal, and then to join in the discussion of the book entitled Eve, which is really quite interesting. And I'm told that even if you haven't finished the book, you're welcome to attend the discussion. There will be those leading that discussion. All of the activity begins at 5:30 p.m. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction, and then would you stand following the prayer to sing the congregational response? Let us pray. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.